Imperium.
Hello and welcome to Ashes of the Imperium. My name is Dan, and as ever, I'm joined by the wonderful Steve and the lovely Gary. And today we are launching a very special episode, which is the first of our 10th edition 40K coverage. This is an exciting time, isn't it, guys?
Yes, very much, very much.
Yeah, it's looking sweet.
Yeah. Honestly, so before we get too fanboy-y and excited, the context of today's show and indeed the content is that we are going to be talking a little bit about the box, the Leviathan box, the miniatures within, and in typical Ashes of the Imperium style, we have created three narrative lists ranging in a number of sizes and formats. And the important point to note here is that we don't have access to all of the information. So a little bit, this is, I suppose, a sprinkling of wish listing on this, but also we are basing this off kind of the roles and vague points of things in 9th edition. So this isn't going to be like a deep dive into the exact rules of every single unit as and when we see the index cards drop, which
Dan,
I think are going to be...
Dan,
yes,
Dan.
Yes.
You said points.
Points.
When does Ashes ever use points? Can't we use power level?
You are welcome to use power level. I go for points because power levels just haven't been updated for a long time. So in 9th edition, I find points a little bit easier to use using the app. But
and we're not getting them, are we? They've said power level's gone. Points is the future. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, we might as well use whatever. This is a weird and wonderful time to be in, Steve. But you know, you can use points, you can use power level, you know, is it 9th edition, is it 10th edition, who knows. But we will be creating three narrative lists using, inspired by the models within the 10th edition Leviathan box set, but not exclusively using that. That would create some fairly similar lists. But yeah, so Steve, you want to tell us a little bit about, the idea of your list before we break it down in detail?
Yeah. So obviously what we are learning about the Leviathan and what that means is that the incursion in the east by the Tyranids and also them attacking from up galaxy, isn't it? So we've got a spiral galaxy we're in, and they're attacking from two ways, and obviously what we're hearing is that what initially thought was perhaps there were Tyranids aboard some of the arcs, because the arcs were made up of all sorts of ships and hulks all nailed and hammered together by chaos and shoved off on their missions. But now we definitely know that no, there is definitely a proper invasion, pincer movement, if you like, from the Nids. And I think what we also know is that to try and understand what's going on and to try and just kind of put a speed bump in it, the Imperium have got these things called Soul Blades. And these Soul Blades are elite troops. I think we begin to discover they're mainly Space Marines, which is obviously entirely their job. You know, that's what they've been created for and that's what they've done. But we get hints that perhaps some more of the elite Astra Militarum are getting used. And they're being sent out like these speed bumps. So my idea...
speed bumps.
Yes, exactly. So my thoughts are, if the Tyranids want to make best advantage of what's going on, they kind of want to surgically take the minds, the brains, the leadership out of these Soul Blades. So we want to have the ability that, yes, space, you know, the Imperium can send these out, but they just go missing. They don't hear back again. That's what we want. We want them to be in the dark. So we want to pluck out of the eyes of the Imperium. So I want to make a stealth-based force that uses some of the cool new rules that we've got. And leaning heavily on the box, we've got... just before I go into the details. So the idea is I want it to be that classic game mechanic whereby the good guys turn up and it's like, where are they? I can hear them all around us. What's happening? I don't know what's going on. They keep moving. I don't know where they are. And I want it to be that very much that initial contact. So that's the beauty of Nids. There's lots of ways to play them, and that you can be the Horde, you can be the monsters, you can be the psychers. So what that kind of meant was for me a really ease in, and for one of my favorite models is von Ryan's Leapers. And you know, we've seen the rules for them, and they are like, or well, we hope they are once we see the final Lictor cards, but they seem to be baby Lictors. So units of three, because obviously Lictors were always a bit lonesome, they always did their thing on their own. So units of three, and we can have up to six in a unit now, makes them a really good solid choice. So to be able to use the winged Tyranid Prime, for because he carries the Synapse rule, so we want to keep our guys within Synapse, because there will be benefits for that. Again, we'll discover those. And also it kind of, that becomes the link back to the hive mind. Everything that gets captured, everything that is grabbed, gets eaten, destroyed, we need to pass that back. We can't just be a kind of blind hunter killer. And I think that's where we always see Lictors. We always see Lictors as just being these sort of lonesome, just killing machines. So I quite like that. So when we shape up my list, leader will be my prime. That also has the keyword character, because you need to have a character in 10th ed to be your warlord for your detachment. Again, this isn't a detachment as such. This is literally some models we like out of the box, plus some other toys that I've got on the shelf, which makes for, you know, fast games when the index cards drop. So we're going to have the Winged Prime as my leader. Probably going to have, just keep it to three of the Leapers for now. Then it probably, and we're aiming, and my list's aiming around 500 points, which is kind of Combat Patrol region. But again, I'm being clear that obviously this isn't a box set of Combat Patrol, so this isn't designed to play with those, because what we do understand is that there are special rules for the Combat Patrol box sets, which help balance them out, sort of feather them out a little bit, so they play like for like.
One thing I was going to ask you, gentlemen, is whether you have watched the free battle report that's currently on YouTube from Warhammer Plus.
On tonight's list. Yeah. Maybe we should have watched that before this episode.
I did my homework.
It was star for Gary.
Yeah, it was very good. It's cool. It's the actual table they played on is the train has been designed to mimic the trailer on the box set.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. And all the rules they use on there sound pretty sweet. So
nice. All right, well, yeah. I might be revising my list after viewing that.
You just might be able to glean some knowledge from there.
Yeah. So
it's interesting that one in terms of the narrative, because von Ryan's Leapers, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I just call them the Jean-Claude Van Damme Reapers because I can never remember the names of them, but. It's interesting that they, you know, if you could pick one Tyranid organism that they seem to kind of take after, it would, they scream Lictor, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But in a old 40K, old previous edition codex for Tyranids, von Ryan's Leaver, this is not a new name. That's something that's come from, like, I think, like the 4th or 5th edition book or something like
that.
Oh,
wow, that's cool.
And it's attributed to a sub-species of the Hormigon.
Oh, interesting.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, which is obviously, you know, the Hormigants would have those, the sort of bounding leap rules,
yeah,
didn't they? You know, yeah, leaping around.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It is really interesting because, and I remember people being like, wow, look, baby Lictors. And then, like, you had loads of neckbeards being like kind of like how I just have done. But being like, oh, it's a Hormigant.
That's a really bad reference, considering what you've just referenced.
You're not
saving yourself there, mate.
No. Technically, it's a Hormigant. But I like the fact that, you know, that's obviously been written from an Imperial scribe's perspective. They're like, oh, it's leaping, it must be a Hormigant, because they leap. There's very, very clear Lictor influences. And I just kind of like the fact that kind of ties into that, like, half of what you hear in the 41st millennium is made up, half of it is lies, and the other half is disingenuous, and the other half is, it's a lot of halves in there, but the other half is kind of like you know, twisted by personal narratives or whatever.
I mean, I'm on that scribe side. If the leapers leap rather than lick, you know, it makes maybe they just don't like the licking, so it makes sense.
I mean, they've got these weird little kind of you know, gribbly Cthulhu-esque faces, don't they?
Yeah, or don't judge a book by its cover, you know.
I think you make a really good point, Dan, in that you read some of the sort of short stories and stuff like that, and that as players, we're in a very unique position where we know all about the whole galaxy and all of the races, whereas most of the Imperium has never even seen a space marine, let alone the difference between a Gaunt and a Lictor and a Leaper. So, yeah, the fact that there's nuances about how they're identified or not, it is going to happen, you know. They just don't. And also I think the other thing is, what we don't know is that, you know, these new adaptations that we're seeing are because of what's been happening on the other side of the galaxy, and they are, you know, you can always have a bit of a joke about, you know, a new type of creature has been found in a fantasy world, or a new type of vehicle has been found. And it's like, oh, where did that come from? Who made that? But these guys...
Yeah. New Land Raider variant, STL, has just been found, which is why it's referred to in all the books subsequently, but never prior.
Exactly. Whereas these guys can absolutely, you know, they can have a different creature crawl out of a pond somewhere, out of a spawning pool of, you know, biomass, and yeah, no, that's fine. You can have a completely different one. I have no problem with that. So
I'm never gonna look at tadpoles the same way now. Exactly. You are absolutely right. Like, maybe the first ones, you know, we are talking, you know, years and years ago. Maybe the first ones the Imperial, you know, archives refer to were more Hormigant based.
Maybe
they looked physically more like Hormigants, and maybe they didn't do as well on the battlefield, or maybe they've evolved, and that the Hive, you know, the hive mind is like, cool, well, I'm going to add a bit of Lictor DNA into this subspecies, and it's going to, you know, it's going to have a bit of a glow up, and now it looks like that. So I just like that. I like the kind of the evolving nature of Tyranids.
Yeah, and I think if we look at, if I dive in a little bit into the abilities that these guys have got, so we've got fights first, infiltrators, and stealth. So definitely plenty of Lictor DNA going on there, I think. That's going to absolutely. And they've got pouncing leap. So I think they're going to be really cool, really good fun. Six is going to be nasty, but they're on reasonable sized bases, so you're not going to be able to hide them, you know, easily. They're not tiny little guys. The infiltrator rule means that you can't shoot them if they're more than 12 inches away. So that's obviously not particularly advantage to them because they have no shooting. But it does mean if they can run around outside the range, then you've got to go towards them to shoot them. So again, it goes back, I really like that idea of the fact that they're kind of, you know, they're on the scanner. Yeah, but you're not reading it right. You know, that kind of whole, if you can play with the other player psychology. Obviously, you need enough scenery to do that, and that's not always the case. But so, yeah, just to wrap up then. So my list would be the Prime, a unit of Leapers, a couple of Lictors, and hopefully Death Leaper is still around.
Ooh.
And Death Leaper I definitely see as this kind of, if anything, it's always been this kind of super elite dude, and it's going to, It does its thing, and perhaps the rest of this army, this sort of combat force, kind of follows behind him. He's not telling them what to do. He's just doing his thing. And I think then the scope, I mean, a total guesstimate somewhere in the region of 500 points, the scope to go forwards would be, of course, you know, what follows Lictors? We've got to have some gene stealers. So that would be the next one. And then, you know, we need gene stealers, need a bit of looking after, so maybe a brood lord. So yeah, as everything drops and fills out, I think you know, there's opportunities to kind of expand this, but as a starting force and to relearn the game, I think for me it feels like a light step, and that I've really just got close combat here, so I can just play with that, get my head around that, get that worked out, understand what that means, And then,
you don't even need to learn the shooting rules because your opponent's not going to be shooting you because you're going to be more than 12 inches away until you're charging.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, there could well be some deep strike rules. We've already got the pouncing leap, which is the Von Ryan ability, which is heroic intervention stratagem. So that's 9 away. I suppose that's that whole idea. So that if it's like, you know, that like any minute, these could just drop in anywhere. And I'm not really sure where the lictor is. And there's definitely another lictor over there that's 13 inches away, hiding behind that thing. If I can, you know, kind of like herding sheep, you know, it's a sort of one man and his lictor type thing. If we can herd the people away from objectives, or then, yeah. So I think that'd be kind of fun to play. I'm excited to get all the rest of the index cards and, yeah, see if I can go in there and kind of alpha strike these soul blades, take out anybody who's commanding them, who's got connections back, and allow for the rest of the fleet to kind of keep going without there being too much of an organized response for the Imperium. So, yeah, what do you think, guys?
I've got a couple of questions for you, Steve.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
First one revolves around your winged Tyranid Prime. Now, well, first of all, the first point I want to make is the existence of a winged Tyranid Prime suggests the potential for the existence in the future of winged Tyranid Warriors.
Yes.
And for me, like old school Shrikes, right? They used to be the old Forge World upgrade kit. I've talked about doing like an all flying Nid force, which I think I'm going to do. I think now is the time to do that. The RAF Tyranid force.
Yes.
So that's exciting. The potential for a Shrike. So I suppose that's the first point. The second point is, you know, you're talking about an army which has Death Leaper, Lictors, and some models that look very much like Lictors. And then you've got the Winged Tyranid Prime. Now, I can see why you've included in the list. You know, for the use of Synapse, you want to have a character that you can use as your Warlord. Does he, in aesthetic terms, fit the army? And what could you do to make him fit better into this kind of like Vanguard organism list that you've created?
Yeah, 100%. So in many ways, I like the role of this creature. What we do know is because he has the ability of leader, that means at some stage he can join a unit, become attached, and get all the benefits of being attached that we now know about. And I doubt he'll be able to get attached to leapers. It makes no sense. So, yeah, in many ways, I think he is very much a
warrior. Good thing to not get too attached to leapers, isn't it?
Not after the last time, anyway, Gary.
Exactly, yeah. It's very embarrassing.
So, yeah, I think there's two guys to go. There's kind of, do we put wings on a lictor, maybe? I think it was something we kind of murmured about in the chat, Dan. I think it was your idea, which I really like. So it could
what, I like, same... what I like, Steve, is this, I imagine what you are voicing right now is the narrative of the hive mind.
Yeah.
Like, do we put wings on a lictor? Like, yeah, why not? We've done everything else. Come on. Well, that does.
Well, the other alternative is to put lictor arms as the winged Tyranid Prime, the lower pair of arms are its wings. It's got legs,
yes.
Middle wings, and then upper arms. The other option, which I'm sure the hive mind would consider as well, is to put lictor arms, those very kind of iconic, kind of backward jointed.
Yeah,
stretchy arms on a winged prime, and then maybe still using like the prime's head crest, especially that like big kind of sort of crest that it's got.
Yeah,
with the kind of lictors, like a lictor-esque gribbly mouth.
Yes, yeah, that's nice. That yeah,
or just a lictor slash death leapers slash Von Ryan's leapers mouth, because you either have a warrior's mouth, a warrior's head with a lictory mouth for gribbly bits to make it tie in. But then a warrior's head is very different. And I think the lictors have got that kind of like, you know, compartmented eyes, you know, the kind of three eyes on one head type thing.
Yeah.
Or six eyes, two, three pairs. Yeah. I think that would look really like aesthetically cool in terms of it would fit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think if I get excited with this, then yeah, I'll either go back and adapt my model or buy another one. I think that's actually simpler and more in keeping. I mean, the really nice thing is with the prime is that, you know, 12 inch move means, you know, doesn't doesn't get the same infiltration and stealth as the other, so he's not hidey, but that move will definitely that'll definitely get you in there and get mincing, and you know he's not a slouch in combat. So yeah, no, I think that would be a great upgrade, Dan. I think that would, and I think at the moment I think I'm kind of settling mine just on a kind of regular planet. I did think about putting them on maybe an arc, you know, on inside a Hulk, but I think if I played these guys in boarding action, it would be very nasty, and that they are very fast and very fighty, and I think people wouldn't necessarily want to play too many games like that. Again, total guess for the guy who's more narrative than he is rules, but a total guess. But so yeah, I'm gonna base them kind of dusty sandy world, because that sort of shows the colors off, and I think there'll be a photo that can go out with the show of just some of my models, and then a bit of a lineup of what we've talked about today.
Yeah, awesome. And I think a great thing about including the Tyranid Prom is obviously, as you said, like the provision of a synapse creature, which the rules for both synapse and shadow and the warp have been released, which is, I think it's worth talking about, because it is very different. So synapse allows you, back in the day, synapse, like many editions ago, used to give you fearless, whereas these days, if an army factions Tyranids, whilst the Tyranids units from your army is within 6 inches of one or more Synapse models from your army, that unit is said to be within Synapse range of your army. Each time a Tyranids unit from your army takes a battle shock test, if it is within Synapse range of your army, take that test on 3d6 instead of 2d6. And of course, battle shock tests these days are beat your leadership with two dice rather than, or three if it's in Synapse range, rather than get under it, right?
Yeah.
That's an important change in the core rules. Now, obviously, previously, Shadow and the Warp used to be a psychic defense thing, didn't it? These days, it's a once-per-battle ability, which I think is really interesting. So in the same way that Synapse protects you from Battle Shock, Shadow and the Warp is a Battle Shock offensive technique. So Synapse creatures now also act as nodes to cool the Shadow in the Warp down on the battlefield, forcing an immediate Battle Shock test on every unit in your opponent's army. You can trigger this ability once per game, in either player's command phase, and it can utterly annihilate your foe's battle plan as key units lose control of objectives and access the stratagems. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, this is what the aim has been, is to simplify but not dilute or not take away any flavor. So the fact that it's not complicated, but it's still having an impact on the battlefield and still having that. With those sort of things, I always love reminding the other players about it, because I want them to feel the fear of it. Probably not my tactical genius of using it at the right time, but if I did get lucky and do it at the right time. And I think for me, that's exactly what it should be. Shadow and the Warp is that, oh my God, we all know something happens when the Tyranids attack, and it's going to happen at some stage. And so yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I'm excited for them. So yeah.
That is interesting. And I think, I'm sure, like, as we start to see more of the rules from Tyranids, I'm sure there'll be things that allow you to, you know, increase your the effectiveness of battle shock rolls, something that you know, kind of ties into that synapse thing. Because at the moment, if your unit fails or becomes battle shocked, it loses its objective control characteristic, so it becomes zero, so you can't take control of objectives. If it falls back, it must make a desperate escape test for every model, which, just to clarify, is they have to roll a dice on a one or two, that model is destroyed. So a third of the unit can just disappear if you have to, obviously, withdraw from combat, or fall back rather. And you can't use, and the controlling player can't use stratagems. So can't capture objectives, liable to get, you know, reduced by a third if it falls back, and can't use stratagems.
Like, it's a massive fish there.
That's
isn't
a
it?
Big, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just that's don't cool. fail it.
Yeah, just don't fail it. Just roll them up, and you won't fail it if you've got synapse creatures, because you'll be rolling on 3d6.
Just don't fail it.
So, Gary, what do you think of Steve's list?
I like it. I think it's cool. I would happily take that on with in a boarding action game, as my list is kind of almost designed not to oppose that in a strength to strength way, but I think the aesthetics will work very well against them.
Okay, challenge accepted.
There we
go.
Awesome.
So tell us a little bit about the concept behind your list.
So I decided to go for a boarding actions themed list because, as far as I'm aware, we've been told that boarding actions is something that will stay across 10th. So it's kind of, it's been that in-between thing between 9th and 10th, and it should be continuing. So I went for, from the Firethon box, I went for the Lieutenant.
Yep.
A unit of Terminators. And two units of the, Pyroblasters.
Ooh.
Is that right? Are they Pyroblasters? I'm pretty sure they're Pyroblasters.
Pyroblasters, isn't it?
Pyroblasters. There we go. I'm out. I was so off there. Completely different. That's probably just a completely different unit, isn't it? yeah. So the narrative behind it is, I think the Lieutenant looks very much like he's been behind enemy lines for quite some time, as he's got like bits of Tyranids replacing his armor segments. So he's got like bits of chitin.
Oh, he's very cool, isn't he?
Like replacing sections. So my idea is that he is aboard maybe an abandoned Ark of Omen, because if you remember them, that they were a thing.
I do vaguely remember talking about
quite
it for a few minutes.
In the narrative, apparently, for some time. So basically, it's a unit of Terminators and two units of the Pyroblasters have been sent aboard maybe a Space Hulk or, you know, one of the Arcs to basically retrieve this lost Lieutenant that's on there with some, maybe some important information about the upcoming Tyrannic War, and they to get on there and basically retrieve him. So you've got the Pyroblasters in there to basically get to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, most likely to lay down their lives in the struggle while filling every gangway with flames to I mean, you can hide from me, Steve, but you cannot hide from the flames.
I just realized they are the Pyroblaster is, I've just Googled it. The Pyroblaster is the weapon and the squad is an Infernus squad.
Infernus squad. There we go. Yeah.
Infernus squad. Yeah.
The Infernus squad. So,
because the Pyroblaster was first released when Black Templars dropped.
That's it. Yeah. It was a special weapon in that unit, wasn't it?
Yeah. In the Sword Brethren. Yeah. Not the Sword Brethren, the Crusader squads, rather.
Yeah. Okay. So, two 5-man Infernus squads then.
Awesome.
So this boarding act, again, obviously points, etc., is just kind of very much an estimation of what it might be. But, at kind of, from looking at the actual boarding action Space Marine box, I think it might work out all right, because they've got a captain and I've got a lieutenant, so points wise it should probably sync up quite well. But I thought the two Infernus squads can basically be trying to cover as much ground as possible and be making as much noise as possible while the Terminator squad beams in when they find the lieutenant to basically protect him and get him out of there.
Nice.
So you kind of got, you know, you've got Terminators in a Space Hulk, so you've versus Nids, so you've got that classic Space Hulk vibe from that, as well as just, I want to see how much carnage two Infernus squads can do against, especially Tyranids with no shooting.
Yes.
I mean, it's absolutely fine that you've got to be within 12 inches of me, Steve. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I think this list very much likes the up close and personal feel.
Yes, okay. It's going to be chicken tonight, I think.
Yeah, so that's I thought that was just a fun little list that kind of fits a slightly different narrative than what the box set is, but that is using everything in that list is from the Leviathan box. So
That's cool,
because you get a 10-man, I think you get 10,
you do, don't you?
Infernus squad.
10 Infernus dudes,
so you can split that into two fives.
I love it that it's a little story even without the other player there, and you know.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do, Steve, because no one wants
Lieutenant
to play with me, so I've got to do that. Got to do my own story.
Yeah, the lieutenant's holding out against an oncoming storm.
Yeah,
Infernus squad are fighting their way to try and save him. Looks like they're not going to quite make it in time, and then the Terminators come in surround your man left on one wound on one knee.
Yeah, the Terminators really are the glory boys, aren't they? They come in at the last minute.
Everybody like, most of the job's
probably been done, and the Inferno squads have been close to annihilated, and then the guys with the tactical dreadnought armor come in at the last minute.
Fire off half a dozen store-bought rounds and claim victory. Yeah,
you know, empty a drum of assault cannon rounds and they're off. They grab the lieutenant and they're off, probably leaving the Inferno squad behind. Obviously, mine would be Imperial Fist, so not that my Imperial Fist would ever be something like that.
No. So do you think you would you paint up this army as all fists, or would your rescue party be fists, maybe going to like rescue another chapter? Like a successor of the fists. Do you think you'd use this as
I think that'd be more acceptable in my narrative than a completely different my own narrative. I feel like chapter to chapter there's always a little bit of discrepancy there, I think. So I think if it was probably Imperial Fists happened to save Black Templars, because that's kind of what happens. So maybe the lieutenant was part of a Black Templars regiment company, and then the Imperial Fists have to come in to save the day again.
Classic Fists.
Yeah. Cheeky. You know what it's like. You know what it's like. Classic Imperium.
What are they like? So here's a question for you, Gary. The current combat patrol, rather, is for Space Marines is it's effectively the Shadow Spear models, because I assume they all come on the same sprue. What's the floaty rhino called?
Impulsor.
Impulsor, that's it. So it's got the Phobos lieutenant with the kind of jump back and the gas mask, 10 Phobos Marines, 3 Phobos Eliminators, and 3 of the jump pack suppressor autocannon dudes.
Yeah.
And the Impulsor. So obviously all those models are, apart with the exception of the Impulsor, are what came out with the Shadow Spear box.
Yeah.
So do you think we'll see a new combat patrol? Noting that I don't think they've released... did they ever release individual suppressors? They released individual eliminators, didn't they? Because they came with
I'm not sure about that, actually. Because you had a different upgrade in there, didn't you? I'm not sure if suppressors got their own box or not. Yeah,
that's so weird, isn't it? Like, why would you have a unit that exists for that?
I think you get that a little bit with Marines, because they're always in like the cool boxes. I think you tend to get that, where there are some squads that you just can't buy. Which does feel weird. Now, they did announce that there's two, you can make 2 combat patrols from the Leviathan box, didn't they?
Did they?
That was on Warcom.
Because
there was one that's the Terminator Librarian, the Terminator Captain, Terminators, and 1 5-man Inferno squad is the combat patrol you can make from the Leviathan box.
Ah, yes. The Leviathan launch box itself contains enough miniatures to assemble 2 full combat patrols, the Vardengar Swarm for Tyranids and Strike Force Octavius for the Space Marines.
Yeah, because the winged Prime in that becomes like, it's like his own special character. He's like the horror of Vargast or something. It's pretty cool. I think you get the winged Prime, not the Screamer Killer, the beastie that likes eating psychers.
Yes. Yeah, so you get taunts.
The
Vardengar Swarm is 10 Gaunts by the looks of it, or 20 Gaunts even. 20 Gaunts, 3 Leapers, the weird barbed ones, as you say, barbed Gaunts, the ET Chimney Stack Smoky Boy, and the Flyer. And the Strike Force Octavius, as you say, is all the Terminators, but with some 5 Fire Bros. So that suggests to me that those 2 boxes will come out separately, potentially,
maybe. Yeah, I think I very much think it's dependent on sprues.
Yeah, that's absolutely well worth mentioning there, Gary. One of my favorite things about this box is the sprue layout, because in a lot of the starter boxes, you
really
get this,
that sounds pretty good and interesting.
Let me explain.
Enthuse me, Dan. Go ahead.
Enthuse me. Talk to me about sprue layout. Right. In a large number of previous starter boxes, you would often get weird higgledy-piggledy mixes of sprues, right? You'd get, you know, a third of a model split over two different sprues with like a head here and like a different model there and the other side of your obliterator or whatever there, and you'd have to like hunt down various bits of sprues, and it would be a nightmare if you did what we did, which is look at the box, split it amongst three people for the podcast, and then post various different models off to each other.
Yeah, that now, does become tougher.
That does become tougher. So the characters are separate, as characters often are, but the Infernus models are just on their sprue on their own, and the Terminator models are on the sprue on their own. The Leapers are on the sprue on their own. The Termagants are on the sprue on their own. You know, I think the only thing that's together is like the Carnifex with some of the other bits. I'll lose track. Maybe it's the Carnifex and the Barbed Gaunts that are on together. I'll have to double check. But I think that's exciting. I think that's interesting because it
is good for multiple reasons. It's good, like definitely.
Right, tell you what, let's do it now. Live sprue unboxing / rooting through a cardboard box that I've got with me on my travels. Games Workshop, I'm away at the moment, so if my audio quality sounds a bit poor, then that's why. But I've brought some Warhammer models to make, and they did this last year with the exactly the same time. I went away exactly the same time with work, and they sent us a copy of the Heresy box, and I'm just like, that's a heavy box to take with you on a plane, isn't it?
I mean, the Heresy one. Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah. And I also wanted to take the books with me as well. They're hefty as well. So anyway, the Termagants are separate. The Psychophage, which is the big kind of gribbly chimney dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's separate. New layer. The Barbed Gaunts are separate. They're on their own thing. Which makes sense because they are available in the Combat Patrol, so that would make sense for them to be separate. And the only thing that's together is the Neurotyrant and the Screamer Killer. So the big floaty HQ, the big floaty HQ kind of Zonethrope type thing is on the same sprue as the Screamer Killer. So I suspect, you know, in due course, we will see a, you know, they did like, was it like Heroes of the Chapter or something like that? Or maybe I'm thinking of the Stormcast model, where they kind of released
it. No.
Like
I think they did for Indominus. They did that, yeah.
They did, didn't they? Where it was like the captain or whatever. And then for the Space Marines, everything is separate. With the everything is separate. Every single Space Marine model is separate.
Wow.
There are no unless Gary, the, some of the sprues that I sent you were combined.
I would have to go upstairs to confirm, but I'm pretty sure. Some of the Space Marine characters.
That's right, they were. Share
a sprue with the Sterngard veterans.
I think it was Sterngard.
Sure the Apothecary and the Lieutenant were on the same sprue as the Sterngard, because I know the Terminators were all separate and the Terminator Captain was separate. But again, right. None of those are in that listed Combat Patrol.
No. So I think that's cool. That makes it
an individual box later on down the line. That's those, you know, the models that are on separate things.
Yeah, Sterngard, Apothecary, and Lieutenant all in like a box together, and then maybe the separate boxes. But it's interesting. Is like, do you think therefore that we won't then see like separate releases of these, like the Ballistus Dreadnought? Surely they're going to release a Ballistus Dreadnought with more than just missile launchers and las cannons.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, it's like a kind of easy to build type one. It's just across three small sprues. So I think that's interesting. But like even the Infernus models are kind of the easy to build kit too. So, you know, do you think we'll see... Because they released the Assault Intercessors with new models, didn't they?
They did, yeah, yeah.
With the kind of the split torsos. Whereas the Infernus models are kind of the easy to build version. So yeah, I just think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the kind of release kind of schedule looks like for... You know, these two factions.
My gut feeling is always, if you can't take the Space Marine, can't replace the Space Marine shoulder pad, it's probably not going to be the final you get.
Yeah, that. Do you know what? That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
Because the upgrade kits are very tasty. So I'd be very surprised if the final selection of models you can take, you can't replace the shoulder pads.
Totally. Yeah, you are completely right there. And it's like, as a Blood Angels player, I'm thinking, right, am I going to hack apart these Infernus models or am I going to just wait until the multi-part kit comes out?
Just put transfers on them. Don't bother with the special shoulder pads. Just put transfers.
Yeah, but special shoulder pads look cool, Gary.
I genuinely think the transfers look better.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think they look loads better. You can battle damage them up a bit better and look like they're all scarred and that.
Yeah, fair enough. Put some weathering chips on them and they'll look all right.
Don't you say chips, Danamung?
Yeah, fair one. Give me both. Talking of hunger, that is actually one of the themes of my list. So, Steve, you talked about the Soul Blades, dedicated fighting forces that were specifically designed to fight the oncoming swarm of Leviathan. So I've designed a list which kind of ties into that, i.e. a dedicated force designed for fighting Tyranids, but one that's going to make it slightly more hungry. So we'll all remember, I think, the narrative where it's the Tyranids don't like fighting against Necrons because there's no biomass, right?
Yeah.
With the exception of tanks, which I suppose probably have crew in them, so there's biomass in there, what is the most biomass efficient tool that a Space Marine army could deploy? I'll give you a clue. There is it contained within the Leviathan box.
I guess
Dreadnoughts.
Dreadnoughts, yeah. Exactly, yeah, because what's inside a Dreadnought? It's just like one like, you know, very, very mortally wounded.
Well, see, I'm gonna come at you for this, Dan. Do you know what I reckon a Tyranid sees a Dreadnought as? An oyster.
Oh,
which, let's face it, is the most luxurious of foods. Very difficult to eat. You wait, most of it's wasted. But you know, you've got that pearl in there. Don't eat oyster pearl, by the way. That's not the meat.
And how do you think the Tyranids feel after they eat one? Do you think they're like...
I think they show off. I think they show up. Maybe they maybe like the hive mind grows them like a little fleshy top hat and monocle to wear.
Feeling amorous and posh.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
And to be honest, those are the things I do not want to face in a Tyranid. To be fair, Dan, if there's any Tyranid force I think you would wield, I think it would be an amorously posh one.
They get one less attack. Poshly amorous,
whatever
you want to choose.
Poshly amorous, amorously posh, whatever.
Whatever you're feeling that day.
Moving very swiftly on.
Are they keywords in the new book?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I thought this podcast was about making your own stuff up, Steve. So,
exactly.
You know, do that, can't we?
Yeah, Gary's got it.
Yeah.
So my list is effectively like March of the Ancients style.
Nice.
So we're getting we're getting the new Dreadnought, which is the Ballistus Dreadnought, which is, we've had like the All-Rounder, the Redemptor. That was the first one that came out, the first Primaris Dreadnought that came out. And then we had very recently in the Strike Force Augustus box, we had the Brutalis Dreadnought, which is the kind of combat version.
Yeah.
And now we've got a dedicated shooty version. So we've got the middle ground and both extremes, shooty and combat. And being a Blood Angels fan, I saw an opportunity here. So I've effectively got two trios of Dreadnoughts. I have dipped into the non-Primaris space, but I feel disgusting. Yeah. But I feel it appropriate in this instance. A, because there are no character Primaris Dreadnoughts, but also B, because it fit well with my theme. So I've got a Librarian Dreadnought as my Warlord.
Also, I would say possibly the worst employee at a library. Would be a dreadnought.
stomping around. Like, yeah, everyone's trying to be quiet.
Saying that though, being shushed by one would be very scary.
Very scary. So the Librarian Dreadnought is then flanked by a pair of Redemptor Dreadnoughts. A pair of Shooty Dreadnoughts. The reason I say a pair of Redemptor Dreadnoughts is because obviously not having the points for the Ballista Dreadnought, I just put in two Redemptors in there. But yeah, so Librarian with a Redemptor to his left and a Ballistus to his right, like stomping up the field, shooting out magic stuff from Librarian Dreadnoughts and shooting out...
Your books are overdue!
Pew, 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 pay the fine! And so... The second pair is a close combat pair, and that is a Brutalis Dreadnought flanked by two Death Company Dreadnoughts.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah.
And I just thought, I like a nice little bit of symmetry. I like that it's a non-Primaris leading two Primaris Dreadnoughts, and then a Primaris Dreadnought leading to non-Primaris Dreadnoughts. I can paint the Brutalis Dreadnought in Death Company colors. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe using some of the kind of the sarcophagus bits with the skull on the Brutalis Dreadnought to kind of Death Company it up. I obviously went for a 1,000-point list because with this number of Dreadnought, it doesn't quite fit into 500, clearly.
That's also a tough board in action list.
Yeah, that's a tough boarding action. Yeah. without the points for the Ballista's Dreadnought, I just put in two Redemptors.
Yeah.
I like that.
It sounds awesome, mate. That's like that you know, that will look. Also, I think even for you, that is possible to get on the table.
It's painting six models, right?
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, the size, you don't even have to do highlights on those. You can just do a cheeky edge dry brush with all of that. Super easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, yeah. I think I'll do it. I think I'll do it. Do you know what? Because I think that's on a 1,000-point list with six models. And then add in, let's say, a squad of Terminators and a squad of 10 Infernus dudes and maybe a Space Marine Captain. You know, add in the rest of the
filth.
Leviathan box, the filth, and the rest of the filth. So Combat Patrol, what's that? That's like 500
points? That's a different episode, mate. We have to watch.
Yeah, but what, that's 500 points, isn't it? Kind
yes.
of 25
yes.
power.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it's pitched
yeah.
at. So yeah. if I've got 1,000 points of Dreadnoughts. You know, take the Strike Force Octavius as, another 500 points. And then I've got a couple of 500 points to spend on things like Intercessors just for kind of to build up the rest of the army.
Yeah,
and that's a fairly straightforward 2,000 point list, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, works.
I think that's the plan. That's the plan.
I think that just sounds super cool, Dan. I like the initial force, and I like how easy it would be to expand on that force. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's what we'll discover as we play. There will be strategies, there will be missions, there will be things that we want to play. I mean, I guess we're all kind of pretty excited about getting the Tyrannic War Crusade book and what that will mean. So I mean, that's all to come, but
I reckon it's a Tyrannid War, Steve.
Insider knowledge, we're not allowed to say.
It's either that or you're fighting T-Rexes, so I'm cited for both.
I'd go with either or both.
yeah I think all of that sounds great to me.
I think for me, and like Gary said, I mean, it will just look epic stomping up the table. I think it's just like any of those kind of what do you call it, mono armies.
Yeah.
Yes, they will have problems in certain ways, but I think for me they just look epic and they look great fun. And they're not all that easy to tackle when you've got so many of them. So yeah, I think it's sounds good.
Awesome. So there we have it. That's our three lists for ways in which we can take the Leviathan box and kind of turn it into something that's maybe a little bit more narratively themed than just taking the models themselves. We are, as you can imagine, as I'm sure you all are, listeners, very excited for what's coming up for 10th edition. By the time you hear this will launch on hopefully Saturday the 3rd of June, which is a week before pre-orders start. There is going to be a 2-week pre-order window, so between the 10th and 24th of June there's going to be a 2-week pre-order window, and then your Leviathan boxes will drop into your grubby mitts Saturday the 24th of June onwards. If you do want to support the show, obviously we'd love for you to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all that jazz. These episodes do get popped onto YouTube, and there'll be more video-specific content coming in the future at some point. But we'd love for you to do that. But also, if you do want to support the show in a different way, go onto our Twitter or socials and follow our Element Games affiliate link. And then if you want to order your Leviathan box through Element Games, then we get a little kickback through that at no additional cost to yourselves. And that helps us support the show. And we look forward to covering more awesome 10th edition stuff in the near future. So before we wrap up, what is the one thing you are looking forward to the most about the upcoming new edition of 40K? Gary, do you want to start?
Well, for me, I've had the Silent King painted since he was released for 9th and not played him. So I am looking forward to him getting on the table and causing some serious havoc.
And after all you went through to assemble him, I think it's only fair that you play him, right?
Yeah, I'm just not mentioning that anymore, Dan. My therapist said it's probably best if I just let it go. But there we go. There's anyone that's put together the Silent King, you know where I'm at that.
What about yourself, Steve?
I'm excited. I think for me, as much as I've got a couple of little projects going on, what does it mean for my Talan, my Astra Militarum? How do they fit in there? How are they going to need to adapt to fight against this Tyranid invasion? What new crazy vehicles do I need to make and add to make that work? I am shy of any Hellhounds, so maybe that's my next purchase nice. For those. Yeah. So I do like it when a game or a flashpoint or a change in the story kind of makes you look at your army and go, well, if they were fighting there and, you know, they're a whole regiment, what would they pull out of regimental stores to go and fight that? And if I haven't got one, then I have to make one, right? Yeah, honestly.
Exactly,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, that's me. What about you, Dan?
Well, with the exception of a whole new bunch of awesome Tyranid models, you know, which goes without saying.
Flying?
A whole flying army.
There's still time for Gene Stealers as well, Dan. There's still time.
Yeah.
There's still time.
I think I haven't made any gargoyles. I have 3 boxes of gargoyles sat on my shelf, and there's a little part of me that's like, oh, I really hope we get new models. There's a little part of me that's thinking, I really hope we don't get new models because I've started assembling these ones. I've run out of time to send them back. Mm-hmm. But things like Gene Stealers, really excited to see hopefully new models for those. They are showing their age a little bit, despite being a kind of multi-part kit. They are quite monopose in style.
Yeah.
New Tyranid Warriors would be really interesting, although they did get a refresh relatively recently.
I actually think they're one of the units that's withheld, you know, quite a lot.
What else, like, what do you do with it? What do you do with Tyranid Warriors? Kind of the same for Raveners, maybe, but I think you could probably do a little bit more for Raveners in terms of dynamic posing. I think what you could definitely do with is Hormigants. Like, I'm really excited to see a bunch of Hormigant models. And
did
just
you know,
like,
Dan, that the Von Ryan Leapers are actually just adaptations of Hormigants?
Could you say that in a slightly more nasal tone? And could you start it with actually?
We've turned the camera off, but what you can't see is me pushing my pretend glasses up.
as someone who does occasionally wear glasses, I feel offended. we've covered, you know, a Dreadnought list, a kind of like elite rescue force, and then also a kind of like vanguard organism list. But, you know, there's so much potential in this box. You know, look at the psychophage and the neurotyrant. You know, even just taking the neurotyrant as your HQ, you could then run a bunch of zoanthropes, a malanthrope from Forge World, a neurothrope, and like even some venomthropes, and you could just have like a bunch of spore mines as well. Like, can you buy those separately these days as models, as units, or do they just come from...
They're probably made to order.
Oh, no, I don't mean buy purchases, but you can run those as a separate unit, or you used to be.
I didn't even know that you could... There's, like, giant spore mines until the other week.
It was there we go. That's a great example. Mucolids. But just imagine that as an army, like, a bunch of floaty, creepy, weird, gangly Tyranids. That's cool.
Do you remember the old... I'm not sure if it was in the Nid Codex, or it was a... what was that thing that they used to do? Regimental Standard? About like how to dispose of a spore mine if you find one. It was very funny. It was like what to do and what not to do. One of them was like, look, don't look directly at it. Like, wear appropriate gloves.
Regimental Standard was brilliant. I think that was written by Rue James, wasn't it? Who wrote the one of the best Warcom articles ever, which is the Stegageddon article when the new Seraphon books came out, when you could take Stegodons as backline. But that's by the by. And then even, you know, even going on to Space Marines, you know, the existence of the Infernus Squad, you know, you could run a like a salamander, you could run a kind of purge force.
They scream salamanders, don't they?
They scream salamanders. But even like imagine, you know, 25 power of Infernus Squads, aggressors with the Flamestorm Gauntlets, something like that. But then maybe with like some, like Sisters of Battle, you know, with flamers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you could just run a really cool, like, multi. You know, multi-faction crusade list.
We'll just have to wait to see what happens, won't we? I think we're all very excited here.
All very excited. Right, and that sums up our first foray into 10th edition. Stay tuned for more episodes as we delve into the upcoming new releases for the edition. And until next time, keep calm and crusade on.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.